Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Unless you live in a cave somewhere, and probably even if you do, you've heard of the huge stink that WikiLeaks' latest publication efforts has caused, particularly in the U.S. government. Elected U.S. politicians have called for everything from indicting the WikiLeaks public face, an Australian named Julian Assange, for treason or for espionage, to, and I am not making this up, sending a drone to assassinate him. In all of the heated claims and counterclaims about whether WikiLeaks should have published, in this latest episode, what were identified as classified cables of U.S. diplomats, there are several important underlying questions that don't seem to be getting much discussion in the mainstream media. So let's spend a few minutes on those underlying questions today. First of all, before we begin, we need to ask just what is WikiLeaks? Perhaps the best way to describe it is to let it describe itself. Quote, WikiLeaks is a nonprofit media organization dedicated to bringing important news and information to the public. We provide an innovative, secure, and anonymous way for independent sources around the world to leak information to our journalists. We publish material of ethical, political, and historical significance while keeping the identity of our sources anonymous, thus providing a universal way for the revealing of suppressed and censored injustices. The broader principles on which our work is based are the defense of freedom of speech and media publishing, the improvement of our common historical record, and the support of the rights of all people to create new history. We derive these principles from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. In particular, Article 19 inspires the work of our journalists and other volunteers. It states that everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference, and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers. We agree, and we seek to uphold this and the other articles of the Declaration. End quote. Well, that certainly doesn't sound so bad. In fact, Time magazine, no bastion of radical thought, once commented that WikiLeaks, quote, could become as important a journalistic tool as the Freedom of Information Act, end quote. WikiLeaks, of course, is a product of the information age. On the internet, once something's published, it's very difficult to eradicate it completely. When Amazon, under pressure from U.S. Senator Joseph Lieberman, removed WikiLeaks from its hosting service, and when, under pressure from the U.S. government, the domain name service that serviced WikiLeaks removed the site from its list so that no one could find it, WikiLeaks asked other websites to copy and make available the information that WikiLeaks publishes. As of this writing, you can find the information the federal government is trying to control at 208 websites around the world. Playing whack-a-mole in the information age is not a very rewarding endeavor. In the midst of this ongoing tug-of-war about access to information, there are three important issues that we might all want to contemplate for ourselves. We may not get to all of them right today, but let's begin. First, what should be the relationship of a government to its citizens in the electronic age? As efforts like the Total Information Awareness Program, reported National Security Agency monitoring of all telephonic and internet communications of U.S. citizens, and state and federal sharing of databases suggest, government wants to know everything about its citizens. Yet, as the latest furor over WikiLeaks publishing government documents suggest, government does not want citizens to know much about government, especially about information classified by government. In 2009, according to the National Archives and Records Administration's Information Security Oversight Office, or ISOO, which is a government agency, over 54 million documents were designated as classified by federal agencies. Of these, over 99.66% were stamped as classified by government employees or contractors who had no training in classification policy. In fact, While only those who have had formal training can do what's called an original classification, anyone with security clearance, which includes every soldier or sailor in the military and millions of others in government service, can stamp a document as classified using what is called, in government parlance, derivative classification. So in 2009, there were 54 million documents that some government employee or other thought that those of us who pay their salaries should not be able to see for at least 10 years, and in many cases, much longer. You may remember Mr. Bush, when he occupied the White House, saying that terrorists hated us for our freedoms. Apparently, that may not include freedom of access to information about what the government does in our names. So, issue number one. Is the power relationship between citizens who may know little or nothing about what government does in their names, while government endeavors to know everything about citizens, is that a good political relationship? Second, this WikiLeaks affair shines a light on the power of politics to control communications on the internet, which many people think of as a tool of free and uncensored information exchange. That, of course, is not the view or the experience of people in China, for example, or of those who constitute over 3/4 of the world's population who live under governments with active censorship policies. But even in countries such as the U.S., which are nominally free of official government censorship, politics can have a huge effect on access to information in the international arena. At the same time that we fund, for example, Radio Marti and other communication channels to make outside information available to those who we perceive to be oppressed, such as those who live in Cuba, we also, as a government, do things like, as we did recently, confiscate website domain names of 82 sites that we say are selling counterfeit goods, without a trial, without notice, without judicial review. In the electronic world, that's tantamount to being prosecutor, judge, jury, and executioner with no hope of appeal. In the case of WikiLeaks, an astounding set of coincidences occurred within days of each other once our government began talking to what are supposedly private companies as well as to other governments. PayPal stopped processing donations to WikiLeaks, which, by the way, has occasioned an international boycott of PayPal. The Swiss agency holding some of WikiLeaks' assets suddenly discovered that the bank account Mr. Assange had there for his defense fund had incorrect information, and so froze WikiLeaks' assets. And a number of countries and private vendors, such as Amazon, which we mentioned above, suddenly discovered violations of their terms of service and kicked WikiLeaks off their servers. In short, a second issue in today's internet age is the influence of government on international private information services that are supposedly governed by private and market forces. Is that a good thing in the information age? Well, there are other important issues and questions that lie behind the immediate furor over WikiLeaks' latest publications, issues which are not getting a lot of discussion in the press. But we hope you'll ponder these questions for yourself and decide what you think, so we can move on to the others on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.